Shalom, welcome to Ask JTF, the program in which we attempt to answer questions from our great JTFers. I'm Chaim Ben Pesach from the Jewish Task Force. Before we get to our questions, this program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Mitman, Shlomo Ben Sara, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to Ilui Neshamot, Elevating of the Souls, for Malka Bat Meir, Allegra Bat Shlomo, Daniel Nankin, Victor Chazdai, Pesach Zeb Ben Dov, Lunita Adler, Shifra Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Barry Hoffman, Harab Meir Kahana, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Tzipora Fegi Bat Liba, Yosef Ben Meir, Robert Mitman, Dennis Shore, Helen Friedman, and Charles Zolot. And people ask us how they can help the Hilltop Youth, the heroic Hilltop Youth. This is such a critical time. This day, on this very day when I'm recording this program, 70 Arabs attacked one of the hilltops, Ramat Migron, and destroyed the sign and did some property damage and came very close to coming to the houses where the women and children are. 70 Arabs came to attack, and they were accompanied by self-hating, radical left, evil Jews from the so-called Peace Now movement, from Shalom Achshav, an evil movement that totally supports our enemies and works to destroy their own people. We have to help these people. Who do you want to win? Do you want the Arabs and the self-hating Jews to win in Israel? Do you want Israel to lose Judea and Samaria, God forbid, and to have a catastrophe in the Jewish homeland? Is this important enough for you? Everybody can contribute something. So we need your financial support, because we need to get more money to these people. And I mean, we're sending them money, and I'm raising money for them all the time. But we need to get more money to them. We need your support. Every contribution makes a difference. And we need you to help by spreading the word about JTF and its program and its website, the forum. You've got to spread the word everywhere. You can create new channels, for instance. You can create a new JTF channel on YouTube or on other forums. You can go to other places where videos are uploaded and create a new channel. That would help us. There are all types of things you can do to promote this cause that is so essential to the Jewish people. Now, I'm not in the greatest of shape when I'm doing this program right now, because I got my booster shot on Monday and I've had fever. And sometimes you have a temporary negative reaction to it because you're putting antibodies into your body, and you can get a reaction like that. So I've had fever and a headache, and it's something that I had when I had my first two shots, but I got my booster shot, and so I'm not in the greatest of shape right now, but I wouldn't miss doing this show with our great JTFers for anything in the world. I always love to do this program with our great JTFers, even though it may not be easy for me right now because of the fever, and because I think I have a low-grade fever right now. Even I might, it feels a lot better. I might not have very much of a fever right now, but I certainly had fever and was really sick yesterday. In any event, the Arabs and the radical left are attacking the Hilltop Youth and are trying to get rid of them. They're trying to stop this. Now, if they can get rid of these hilltop communities, God forbid, the Arabs will immediately come in and take over the hilltops. And if the Arabs come in and take over the strategic hilltops, that's it. The game is over for us, God forbid. Because nobody throws the Arabs out once they take over. The Israeli government, they'll throw Jews out, but they don't throw Arabs out. Once Arabs come in and illegally build or come in, nobody touches them. They are allowed to stay there for eternity. That's the type of evil, self-hating Jews we have running Israel's government and Israel's establishment. They'll destroy Jewish homes all the time and throw Jews out of their homes, but Arab Nazis that want to exterminate the Jewish people, that promise to perpetrate another Holocaust against the Jewish people, those people they wouldn't touch. And so we need your help. Everybody who's seeing this can contribute something. And everybody who's seeing this can do something to help in some way. You can do something to help on the internet as well. You can spread the word on the internet. Spread the word to other people. Very important. People ask us, how do you contribute to the Hilltop Youth? And as you know, there are two very simple ways to do so. One is to go to our Hebrew main page, hayamin.org. And on top, on hayamin.org, there's a donate button. You just click on the donate button, and in several minutes, you can very easily and conveniently make one of two types of donations. You can make a one-time donation, or you can make recurring donations. In other words, you can have recurring donations that automatically are transferred to the Hilltop Youth once a month, for instance. So that's something you can do very easily if you go to hayamin.org and you click on the donate button. The second way that you can send us support is by sending checks or money orders made out to JTF and sent to our post office box, which is JTF PO Box 650327, Fresh Meadows, New York 11365, JTF PO Box 650327, Fresh Meadows, New York 11365. We need your help. And you have no idea how much you're helping yourself when you help us. How important this is going to be when God judges you on Yom HaDin. What did you do? What did you do when you knew about this issue and this problem? You have no idea how important that's going to be. So the Hilltop Youth are doing us a big favor. They're doing us a tremendous favor because they're giving us a chance to help in the struggle for the land of Israel. And that's something that every Jew and every righteous Gentile should be involved in, because it's the most important struggle in our lifetime and in our generation and in this period of redemption. Because we're in the period of final, we have a state of Israel now, we have a return of the Jews to the land of Israel. So we're in the period of final redemption. And what you do now can make a big difference for you and for the Jewish people. All right, let's go to our questions now from our great JTFers. And we start out with the great Binyamin Yisrael, who says, and I quote, one, discuss the following blacks. Thurgood Marshall. Thurgood Marshall was with the NAACP, the National Association for the Annihilation of Caucasian People. And after being an attorney with the National Association for the Annihilation of Caucasian People, he was appointed to the Supreme Court. And he did everything he could to impose on the United States a situation where the United States will turn into Africa, just destroying the country. So he's a horrible, evil person. And of course, he's glorified for having done that, because everything's upside down now. The evil people are praised, and the righteous people are condemned. That's the generation we live in. All the righteous people are hated and condemned and persecuted. And the evil people, they're the ones who are glorified and praised. Okay, now Binyamin asks about Clarence Thomas. Clarence Thomas is another black Supreme Court justice. And he's actually a black so-called conservative. In many ways, I like some of the things that he said and some of his decisions in many ways, but I don't like the fact that he made a decision against Israel when he had a case in front of him about Jews who were born in Jerusalem wanting to put on their U.S. passport that they were born in Israel. The U.S. policy is not to allow Jews. The U.S. policy was not to allow Jews who were born in Jerusalem to say they were born in Israel, because the United States did not recognize Israel's sovereignty over the land of Israel, over Jerusalem, over Israel's capital, Jerusalem. And so they were not allowed to do that, and it's pure anti-Semitic, vicious policy, the type of vicious policy that we got from the White House and the State Department and all the other powerful people in all the administrations, from Democrat to Republican, since the days of the Holocaust, when they did everything they could to make sure that 6 million Jews would be murdered, and then right up until the history of Israel and doing everything they could to pressure Israel to commit suicide, and continuing to this day to pressure Israel to commit suicide. So policy of the United States is terrible, and Clarence Thomas ruled against Israel in that case, so I don't like him. So for that reason, I hold that against him. And Anita Hill. Anita Hill is a beast. She just falsely accused Clarence Thomas of sexually harassing her. I don't believe a word of it. She did it just to get massive publicity and attention and become a big celebrity. She's a black, lying beast. Bill Cosby. Benjamin is asking me about a list of, he has a list of blacks that he wants me to speak about. Bill Cosby, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, who was the ultimate example of the wonderful nice black. He was supposed to be the nice black, the really good black, the black that's on all the Jell-O commercials and speaks to the children, and that we keep, and that he's the type of black that you wouldn't mind leaving your children with. That's what we were told. And now we see that he raped women after drugging them. Okay, that's Bill Cosby, the big, the wonderful black guy, the very nice black guy. And finally, Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan is a moron who the only thing he knows how to do is play basketball. And he's also a big hero in this generation. He knows how to play basketball. He's a black giraffe. And these are black, the people who play basketball, these are black giraffes. And they're so glorified. What the hell is a big deal? What the hell is a big deal? They know how to throw balls through hoops, but they have the brain the size of a peanut, and they have IQs in the single digits. And Michael Jordan is a completely, completely immoral piece of garbage. Who supported Barack Hussein Osama and supported Black Lives Matter and supports the whole nine yards. Piece of garbage. Now Benjamin asks, too, do you have an affirmative action story that took place at JFK International Airport? Unquote. I've told this story before. There's only one story that I could recall that happened. Actually, there's more than one, but one story that I could recall that happened at the JFK International Airport. I knew somebody there who was a fan of our show, our television show in New York, who worked in airport security. And all of a sudden, this guy who was very well experienced and really a very smart guy, all of a sudden, his boss, they put over him an affirmative action Schwarzer to be his boss. He's put in charge of security. He'd be in charge of security at the airport. Mm-hmm. Now you wonder why things like 9/11 happen. But anyway, they put this moron in charge of security. And the first thing he did, he wanted to come up with something new to show, to put his stamp on his job and show that he's coming up with new innovative ideas. So he came up with giant signs telling people things that they can't bring to the airport. Now, there were always signs like that about things you're not allowed to bring to the airport, but this Schwarzer created a new sign. There was a picture of a bomb on the sign. And the very first thing it said that you can't bring to the airport is a bomb. You're not allowed to bring explosives or bombs to the airport. You can't bring machine guns or rifles or pistols or any other type of firearms. That was the second thing. I mean, can you imagine? He has to put a sign up telling people you're not allowed to bring a bomb to the airport. He has to put a sign up telling them. You can imagine the Arab saying, "Oh no, I had no idea that I could not bring my bomb to blow up an airplane at the airport. I didn't know. Now that I see, I thought we were allowed to do this." We had no idea. If he hadn't told us this, if he didn't have a sign with a picture of a bomb saying you're not allowed to bring bombs to the airport, if he didn't show us this, if he didn't show us a picture of this, we never would have. Who would have known? Who would have known? These are the type of really low IQ, deficient, mentally retarded people who because of their race are put in charge of everything now. Thank you, Benjamin. And now we go to Ram Sheva Sheva Ephes, who writes in Hebrew, and I'm going to read it quickly and translate and answer quickly and translate quickly, because I know most of our viewers don't speak Hebrew. Shalom Chaim Hayakar Mashlomcha. Baruch Hashem Margish Harbe Yoter Tov Mehakorona Margish Meule Kemo Chadash ב-24 לחודש ביום חמישי, מקווה שנוכל לעשות את מפגש הזום איתך. מה דעתך על זה שאני אקשר אותך לחבר הכנסת שמחה רוטמן לגבי נוער הגבעות והסירוב, העלייה שלך, האם שמעת שאשתו של הגיבור יונתן פולארד נפטרה? אני שמח שאריה דרי הרשע מורשע שוב, מקווה שהוא לא יחסור בבחירות הבאות. אוהב אותך מאוד, באהבת ישראל, רם מאיר אברהם. Ram speaks about a number of subjects. He speaks about the corona. He's got over the coronavirus. And he speaks about that he's organizing a Zoom meeting for us in Hebrew, with people going to come to the Zoom meeting, and I'm going to be speaking there about the Hilltop Youth, of course. You know what Chaim Ben Pesach wants to speak about. And he speaks to us about us getting in touch with the Simcha Rotman, and he speaks to us about Aryeh Deri in the elections. Okay, Ram, ani sameach she'ata margish yoter tov. אני כן מקווה שהזום שלנו יצליח, ואני מאמין שהוא כן יצליח בעזרת השם. ולגבי שמחה רוטמן, אוקיי, זה משהו שצריך לשקול לעשות. וכמובן אנחנו יודעים שאשתו של הגיבור יונתן פולארד נפטרה, זיכרונה לברכה, עליה השלום, ברוך דיין האמת קודם כל. וכמובן אני מסכים איתך לגבי אריה דרי, ובעזרת השם אנחנו נהיה בקשר. אני מודה לך רם. Okay, now we go to the great Hirvatsky Noachide, who always has great questions. And Hirvatsky writes, and I quote, one, you describe Russia as a cruel, conquering, and evil country. Does the Russian Orthodox Church fuel its wars of aggressive conquest over other nations, which are forbidden as theft for Gentile governments, unquote? I think the Russian Orthodox Church plays a very negative role, and just as the Eastern Orthodox, the Russian Orthodox and Eastern Orthodox Church and the Roman Catholic Church, I think they all play very negative roles. And I think, you know, they played a big role, of course, in inciting pogroms against the Jewish people. And hundreds of thousands of Jews were slaughtered by Cossacks in Russia during vicious attacks that took place several hundred years ago. Hundreds of thousands of Jews were slaughtered. It was unbelievable what took place there. And the Russian Orthodox Church played a big role in inciting all of that. Very evil institution. How much of a role they play, and what would happen if they weren't around? I think that they certainly exacerbate the situation. Two, would Slavic nations, and now Hirvatsky writes, and I quote, two, would Slavic nations show more solidarity with each other if Christianity didn't divide them into Roman Catholics and Eastern Orthodox? Unquote. Well, you know, we have, of course, on the one hand, we have the religious differences between the Serbs, who are Eastern Orthodox, and the Croats, who are Catholic. And, of course, the differences between the Serbs, who are Eastern Orthodox, and the Bosnian Muslims in the former Yugoslavia. There's no real racial difference between the Bosnian Muslims, for instance, and the Serbs. The Bosnian Muslims were Serbs who, when Turkey took over that area, conquered that area, they basically were the traitors who became Muslims, who betrayed their faith and became Muslims. And now, of course, there's constant conflict between the Bosnian Muslims and the Eastern Orthodox Serbs. And we see this play out in many other situations. Poland and Russia are longtime enemies, Poland being a Catholic country and Russia, of course, being Russian Orthodox. So I think religion plays somewhat of a role, but you know, even if religion wasn't there, there is a tremendous nationalist underlying reason for all of this. The nationalism and ethnic pride play a big role in all of this. So, you know, how much would this change if you didn't have the religious component to it? I don't know. I think that the various churches, the various Christian churches, exacerbate the problem. But But I still think the problem would exist even if they weren't involved. Even if all of the Slavic nations were one religion, I still think that we would have serious conflicts there. For all types of reasons, for all types of reasons that don't make any sense to me, but nevertheless, the tremendous nationalist fervor that exists among people in these various countries is a tremendous nationalist fervor that creates major divisions and even a murderous desire to wipe out the other people, to wipe out other people who are seen as the enemy. Thank you, Chirvatsky. And now we go to Chicago Jew, another good friend of ours, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, please give me your opinion on these former Israeli prime ministers and why you don't like them. Yitzhak Rabin, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro Shem Reshaim Yirkav, was a coward and a disgrace and terrible in all. Every battle he was ever involved with was a disaster. Nevertheless, David Ben-Gurion, Bozo, and you can look him up on the internet to see what David Ben-Gurion looked like and see if I'm accurate when I call him Bozo. David Ben-Gurion, Bozo, promoted him and promoted him and promoted him. And I think the most notorious thing that Rabin did probably was the Altalena. I mean, that was really a notorious act of mass murder where Rabin murdered in cold blood 16 Holocaust survivors who were heroes in Etzel, and just murdered them in cold blood, bombed their ship because they were right-wing Jews and his rivals. He, Rabin and Ben-Gurion, bombed the ship and murdered 16 Jewish Holocaust survivors and freedom-fighting heroes in cold blood. And Rabin also, of course, was responsible for the horrific Oslo agreements, which to this day are a curse on Israel. So he was just a despicable, cursed, vile piece of sewage. And Chicago Jew now writes about Menachem Begin. Menachem Begin, he promised that he was never going to give up one inch of land. This was his slogan, Of Sha'al, Of Sha'al, which means not one inch, not nothing. He would never give up anything, not a millimeter, not an inch of land. And he made such dramatic speeches about how we're not allowed to give up any land. And then when he became prime minister, he gave up more than all of them put together. He gave up the entire Sinai, which was far bigger than all the other land that Israel had. Far bigger. Two and a half to three times as large as all the other land that Israel possessed. I mean, just insanity. Menachem Begin was a catastrophe as prime minister, a terrible prime minister. And the war in Lebanon, over 1,000 Israeli soldiers were murdered for nothing in Lebanon, accomplished nothing in that war. Menachem Begin was a terrible prime minister, a disastrous prime minister, and a liar and a fraud, even though they say he's so honest, a complete phony liar who promised he wouldn't give up land and gave up more than everybody else before him. And Chicago Jew now asks about Yitzhak Shamir. Yitzhak Shamir, another evil person, who was the head of the Lehi. He was with Lehi, which was another heroic underground group. And Menachem Begin was involved with Etzel, which is a heroic underground group. They were both involved with heroic groups. But when they got into politics, they were catastrophes for Israel, Begin and Shamir. Shamir, in the end, was the first prime minister to meet with the PLO terrorists, openly meet with them in Madrid in 1992. And Yitzhak Shamir is the prime minister who led the campaign when he was prime minister to ban our beloved leader, Harav Meir David Kahana, Zecher Tzadik VeKadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, to ban him from running. And because he was banned and wasn't being guarded by Israeli security, he was murdered in the end by Al-Qaeda. That was the worst thing that anybody could ever do, to ban Rabbi Kahana. And that was Yitzhak Shamir who did that, that pig. He could never be forgiven for that crime of what he did to Rabbi Kahana. And he did it because he didn't want Rabbi Kahana to take votes away from his stinking party, the Likud. Rabbi Kahana was the only honest leader Israel had and could have saved Israel and could have brought final redemption to the whole world if he had become prime minister, and he could have become prime minister if he hadn't been banned. But Yitzhak Shamir, like a fascist, worked together with the left and the phony right to ban Rabbi Kahana. So as far as I'm concerned, he's scum. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And now we go to another good friend of ours, longtime friend of ours, Baltimore, who writes, thoughts on Joe Rogan. Should Spotify fire him? Thanks. Well, I don't like what he stands for. And, I mean, I know that, you know, that one of the reasons they're going after him is because he used the word nigger. But I don't like his political philosophy. I think his political philosophy is horrific. I think he's crazy. He's a libertarian. He supported Ron Paul, the anti-Semite Ron Paul. He favors legalizing narcotics. He supports homosexual marriages and supports the entire homosexual agenda. He promotes the crazy COVID conspiracy theories. I really don't like him, and I don't care what happens to him as far as I'm concerned. And he was making, you know, Spotify was paying him was giving him a huge salary. And the things he promoted, again, were just things that are bad. Bad for the world, bad for society. Now, they threw into that the fact that he used the word nigger. And he didn't use the word nigger to say that they're nigger. He used the word nigger quoting other people using the word nigger. And because of that, he can, you know, that's unforgivable among these people. Of course, when someone makes anti-Semitic remarks, that's entirely forgivable, and that's entirely acceptable. But if somebody says nigger, they're ruined for life. Obviously, I don't like a situation where people are ruined for life because they use the word nigger. But just so that you'll know, I'm not a fan of Joe Rogan either. I don't like what he stands for. Thank you, Baltimore. And we're going now to Yemach Shmoda Islam, our other friend, who writes, Dear Chaim, since this be Black History Month, do you have any recent African action stories? Well, you know, the only thing I could think of right now is, just to come to mind right away, I saw this show with all these Schwarzes on daytime television. I happened to be in an office. I went to try to get a contribution for the Hilltop Youth. I went to meet with somebody. And he has a business in an office, and he has the TV on Fox. He actually has TV on Fox News. Not Fox News, but the Fox channel, the regular Fox channel. And you have all these Schwarzes and this despicable Jew on the show, and they're talking about how Whoopi Goldberg is courageous and wonderful, and why they shouldn't hold anything against Whoopi Goldberg. Whoopi Goldberg said that the Holocaust is about white people being against other white people. It's not about race. It's about white people doing to other white people. In other words, she's sick and tired of hearing about this. This filthy beast. And I was listening to these blacks back and forth, and there was a Jew moderating this thing. And I'm listening to this back and forth. Of course, the Jew annoyed me more than the Schwarzes. And the two blacks are saying, you know, and they be, you know why they be against Whoopi Goldberg? They be against her because she's a beautiful black woman. She be a beautiful black woman. They don't like beautiful black women. They be jealous when they see a beautiful black woman like Whoopi Goldberg. Whoopi Goldberg is a beautiful black woman? She's beautiful? I'm not even going to say what I think she looks like. I mean, she's beautiful. She's an example of black beauty. And they're talking about, and this is what our society has become. I mean, this is just, it's, you know, what you see with your own eyes. You see an ugly beast like her, and you're required to reprogram your mind and say, no, that's actually an example of beauty. This is the type of unbelievable brainwashing that we're undergoing in our society today. Thank you, Yemach Shmoda Islam. And now we go to our very good friend, Nachas, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim. One, being you mentioned the magnificent Jewish sage, Harav Akiva, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, in the last great segment, could you please discuss the Bar Kokhba revolt, unquote. The Bar Kokhba revolt was a revolt against the entire Roman Empire. It was absolutely incredible that the nation of Yehudah, Judah, rose against the entire Roman Empire, and they brought people in from all over the Roman Empire, divisions in, to fight against the Jews. And of course, in the end, and the Jews would have won. They would have defeated the Romans. Despite the fact that they were very heavily outnumbered, they would have defeated the Romans. Because they're better fighters, and because they're very, because they're brilliant strategists, very heroic as fighters. But they lost because they were stabbed in the back by Jews who were collaborating, first of all, collaborating with Romans and wanted the Romans to win. And then Bar Kokhba himself committed many very serious sins, which turned Hashem against the whole revolt. So, you know, it could have been a tremendous victory for the Jewish people, and this could have brought the final redemption. Rabbi Akiva said that Bar Kokhba was the Mashiach, was the Messiah. And the rabbis in his day had said that he can be the Mashiach, he can be the Messiah now. And if he had defeated Rome, and if he had been righteous, and if he had done what was right, he could have been the Mashiach, easily. And we would have had an end to all the suffering and death and all the other terrible things we have in this world. It would have come to an end. It's interesting, by the way, that Harambam, Maimonides, says that how do we know what the Mashiach is going to be like? We know because Rabbi Akiva, the brilliant Rabbi Akiva, who was the ultimate example of the oral law, he was more responsible for the oral law being codified than anyone else. And he and the other great rabbinic sages of that time told us what the Mashiach is going to be like and what we should expect from the Mashiach. The Mashiach is not going to be some Rebbe in a yeshiva. The Mashiach, not that we're against Rebbes or yeshivas, but that's not going to be the Mashiach. The Mashiach is going to be a leader, including a military leader that's going to win great victories for the Jewish people and defeat the enemies of the Jewish people. That's the Mashiach, a great leader who will bring about great and profound changes for the Jewish people and for the world, and will change the consciousness of the Jewish people and the world. Will also be a spiritual leader in that he will change the consciousness of the Jewish people in the world. But all the leaders in our Bible are heroes, are heroic people. Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe Rabbeinu were all warriors. David HaMelech, these were all warriors. These weren't people who sat in the yeshiva going, these were heroic leaders, great leaders and heroes. We know what David did to Goliath, David did to Goliath, and we know that David fought many other battles to save and redeem the Jewish people and was a great warrior. And the same is true for Abraham Avinu. He defeated four kings who had empires and by the standards of those days. Abraham Avinu was a great warrior, and Moshe Rabbeinu was a great warrior. So, you know, that's what the Mashiach is going to be. Mashiach is going to be someone who is going to redeem the Jewish people and who is a political leader and a spiritual leader and a military leader all in one. And we learn that from what Rabbi Akiva said about Bar Kokhba. Anyway, thank you, Nachas. We got one more question from Nachas. I'm sorry. Two, your take on Chaim Herzog, Jonas Sack, and Ramban. Thanks. Chaim Herzog was a disgusting, evil example of what the establishment represents. He became the president of Israel. Not the prime minister, but the president of Israel. And he refused to recognize Rabbi Kahana when Rabbi Kahana was in the Knesset, broke the law, refusing to recognize him, and violating Rabbi Kahana's rights as a Knesset member over and over again. Knesset is the Israeli parliament. But he welcomed the Communist Party in Israel when they got into the Knesset. He welcomed them, the communists and the other enemies of the Jewish people, them he welcomed. Chaim Herzog was scum. And his son is scum. His son is the president of Israel now. He's also scum. And Nachas asks about Jonas Sack. He of course invented the polio vaccine. You know, there was a time, 70, 80, 90 years ago, when you had huge numbers of children who were crippled by polio. Polio was crippling huge numbers of people. Many, many people became cripples, invalids, because of polio. They couldn't walk again. It was a horrifying disease. And Jonas Sack, he invented a vaccine that cured us of polio, and that saved millions over the years, millions of children who would have been victimized by this terrible disease. Of course, the nut jobs of today who are against the vaccine against the coronavirus and who are against any other vaccines, I suppose, would be against this and say that we're supposed to go back to the days when everybody was, when millions of people were getting polio, and we shouldn't get the vaccine to stop polio. You have so many nut jobs out there, such sick people. It's really unbelievable. Anyway, and Ramban. Haramban, that's not Harambam with a mem at the end. That's Haramban with a nun at the end. Haramban came after Harambam. And he was one of the greatest commentators, of course, in Jewish history. His commentaries were absolutely breathtaking in terms of brilliance, in terms of how he dissected important things that are essential to us to understand the meaning of life and to understand the meaning of the Torah and the meaning of the Tanakh, of the Bible. One of the greatest Jewish commentators in history. Thank you, Nachas. And now we go to another good friend of ours, Harel156, who writes, and I quote, "Dechayim, I think this country has been and is being destroyed by its education system. In my opinion, the entire system needs to be changed. To me, this means that we need a strong president who will dissolve all teachers' unions. Not everybody can be a teacher. In many cases, there are many bad teachers. What do you think about New York City education system, the pensions teachers get? Do you agree?" Unquote. Yeah, of course I agree, but I think it's a lost cause. I think it's a lost cause. First of all, look at, you have over 50 million blacks in this country. We're going to educate them? I mean, come on, you know, these are people who are part of a culture that is just evil, and we're not going to educate them. I'm sorry, there are there exceptions? There are blacks who are exceptions, by the way. There are blacks who are exceptions to the rule, who are actually decent people and moral people, and there are exceptions, but they're rare, because the blacks, the Arabs, certain groups of people have a culture that is just cruel and evil and filled with envy and hatred and violence against their women, violence against their children, just cruel, evil culture. So I don't think that it's redeemable. I don't think that we're going to be able to change very much in terms of that. And the teachers' unions, of course, are scum. All the unions should be eliminated. All the unions are bad. There shouldn't be unions. Unions are bad. You work for somebody. You work for somebody. That's it. You shouldn't be allowed to organize so that you can strike and that you can hurt the company and that you can, you know, force people to pay dues and all these other things. But what can I say? I mean, if people want to organize on their own privately without trying to force people, I have no objection to. People on their own can do whatever they wish. But in the teachers' union, for instance, you've got to be a member of the teachers' union in order to be a teacher. What type of free, is this really a free country when you have a situation like that? Just like in Israel, you have to be part of the Histadrut in order to get a job in many cases. It's terrible. Thank you, Harel. And now we go to another good friend of ours, Chabad Kahanis, who writes, and I quote, "If Roseanne Barr, who was Jewish, got blackballed for her comments about Valerie Jarrett, why should a Shvarza Chaleria like Whoopi Goldberg get a free pass? What is good for the goose is good for the gander. If ABC fired Roseanne, they should fire Whoopi also and not have a double standard. Maybe a campaign against ABC Disney should be started to demand that Whoopi be fired just like Roseanne was?" Unquote. Chabad Kahanists, for years we have said that all of these media companies and Disney should be boycotted. First of all, Disney has gay days, where in order to go into Disney, you got to be gay. They have their gay day. I mean, it's a hideous company, a hideous, evil company, and they are so anti-Israel. ABC News is so anti-Semitic and so anti-Israel and so left-wing. Of course they should be boycotted. Absolutely should be boycotted. We've been saying this forever. We've been saying this. Absolutely. For decades we've been calling for a boycott of them and of all the other evil media. Thank you, Chabad Kahanist. And we go now to someone relatively new, but who asks very good questions, and his name is Zera Yisrael Kahanist, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Alechem Chaim. Would you say that you found the JDL, or did you find the JDL? I guess what Zera Yisrael is saying basically is was I the founder of the JDL? I think that's what you mean. Was I the founder of the JDL? Did I create the JDL? Or did I find the JDL when it already existed? I think that's what the question is, I'm assuming. I hope I'm right. Rabbi Kahana, a blessed memory, our great rabbi, he's the one who created the JDL. The organization already existed as a major force in the battle for Soviet Jewry when I was 14 years old and I joined. But it was Rabbi Kahana who deserves credit for creating the JDL. Thank you, Zera Yisrael. And we go now to Kahana Will Always Be Right, which is certainly a very good name and a very good... which is certainly an excellent name to have. Kahana Will Always Be Right writes, and I quote, on the topic of censorship, comment on Mel Gibson, Sacha Baron Cohen, and Oliver Stone. Well, all three of them are horrible people. Mel Gibson is a Nazi. He's a Nazi. He's an alcoholic and a Nazi and a Catholic, a Catholic Jew-hating piece of filth who over and over again expresses his anti-Semitism. And by the way, he's not blacklisted. All the anti-Semitism, if he dared say about black people 1% of what he says about Jews, that would be the end of him in Hollywood. But all the self-hating Semitic cockroaches in Hollywood are so happy to swarm around him. You know, they swarm around him like, you know what swarms around, anyway, you know what flies swarm around. That's Mel Gibson. All the Jews are the flies that swarm around Mel Gibson. He's a Nazi. And Sacha Baron Cohen is also scum. Scum. You know, he goes around making fun of Christian... I'm not a Christian, but, you know, there are Christians who support Israel, who genuinely support Israel, and he goes around and humiliates them and makes fun of them and does programs to laugh at them and make fun of them. What a sick person! What a sick! Why would you do that? Why don't you go after the enemies of the Jewish people? What a sick thing to do! And Oliver Stone. Oliver Stone is another Jew hater, another anti-Semite, who also believes in conspiracy theories and all types of insanity. Just another evil person in every respect, which is why he's a perfect fit for Hollywood. Thank you, Kahana Will Always Be Right. And now we go to Am Raphael, who writes, and I quote, Shalom and Todah Rabah Chaim for your advice in Newark. I barely ate and slept and wasn't prepared for the cold night or the people in such a dirty airport. Ben Gurion is much better. Next time I will use JFK instead. What yeshiva kolel would you attend in Israel? Will you do anything special in honor of your mother's yortzeit, such as Mishnah study as is customary? Okay. First of all, as far as the yeshiva or kolel that I would attend in Israel, I don't know. You know something? I think I would want to ask the Hilltop Youth what they would recommend. But I don't know. I would definitely want to attend a religious nationalist yeshiva or kolel. It's just that some of them worship the army and worship the state to the point where they're willing to throw Jews out of their homes and do anything, you know, that I wouldn't want. So it's a difficult question. It's not an easy question, because the yeshivot in Israel, the ones that are successful are the ones that get money from the government. The government deliberately funds those that do what the establishment, the evil, self-hating establishment in Israel, tells them to do. And so anyone who's not part of that is on the outside and doesn't have funding. So that's not an easy question. I don't know. I don't know. I actually don't know what I would recommend in terms of yeshiva for Israel. I would research it, and you know, whatever you're comfortable with, go there, and you know, whatever you're comfortable with. But I do think that you should. I think you should go to yeshiva, even if you don't agree with everything they say. But just don't be brainwashed when they tell you that it's okay to throw Jews out of their homes because you have to obey orders. You definitely shouldn't be brainwashed by that, because a lot of these rabbis in the yeshivot will say that, and that's something that we don't want our people being brainwashed to accept that. No one should ever obey orders to throw Jews out of their homes in the land of Israel. A soldier, a police officer, border guard should refuse orders to touch or destroy Jewish property or throw Jews out of Israel in Judea and Samaria. They should refuse orders. They're required to refuse orders. Anyone that throws Jews out of the land of Israel will be thrown out of the world to come. And Amr Raphael now writes, will I do anything special in honor of my mother's yortzeit, such as Mishnah study, as is customary? Of course, yes. Yes. Thank you, Amr Raphael. And we now go to Kahana Was Right, BT, who writes, and I quote, Der Chaim. 1. I have seen many neo-Nazi accounts praising Whoopi Goldberg on Twitter. Neo-Nazis always seem to love blacks who hate Jews. When you report these accounts, Twitter does nothing and says they don't violate the rules. Why is Holocaust denial not a violation of Twitter's rules? Unquote. Because Twitter is an anti-Semitic site, and all of the sites are anti-Semitic. Google, Twitter, Facebook. They're all anti-Semitic. You remember Zuckerberg and Facebook said that he wouldn't ban people who were Holocaust deniers. You remember that? So I mean, they're all very evil people, and this is what we're up against. We're up against evil. The people with money and power in this evil generation are bad people. That's what we're up against, and that's what the rabbinic sages warned us would happen in the end of days. We're going to live in an evil generation of darkness. And the forces of evil are going to be in control, and we have got to bring light to the world as much as possible. That's the role we have to play, because we are in the final stages of the redemption. When I say we're in the final stages, we have until the year 6000 for the final redemption to come, and so that means we have a little bit more than 200 years to go. So it could be another 200 years, which is nothing in historical terms. Of course, that means we won't live to see it, but in historical terms, that's not a lot, but it could also be sooner. If we do what's right, it could be a lot sooner. Kana Was Right now writes, and I quote, 2. Many Holocaust deniers on Twitter spread the lie that gas chamber doors were wooden, and they claim that this disproves that people were mass murdered and gassed to death. They spread this all over the internet. How do you react to this sort of thing? Unquote. Well, look, if people are the people who are Holocaust deniers are Nazis, these are Nazis. They're not interested in the truth. They're interested. They want a Holocaust. The reason they're involved in this is because they actually want a Holocaust. They're happy that there was a Holocaust. The people who really are in charge of, the people who really are the leaders of spreading this type of these types of lies, they know there was a Holocaust, and they're doing everything they can to have another one. So you know, that's just what we're dealing with. We're dealing with vicious Nazi Jew haters, and you know, we've got to fight the battle as well as best we can. But of course, we're fighting. We always fight an uphill battle. But just remember, in the end, we're going to win. The good guys are going to win in the end. We may not live to see it, I especially may not live to see it, because I'm already 65 years old. But even if we don't live to see it in our lifetime, in the end, the good guys are going to win. That God has promised us, and everything that God promises will come true. Everything the prophets promised us will come true. Thank you, Kahana Was Right. And we now go to another good friend of ours, Italian Zionist, who writes, and I quote, "Good afternoon, Chaim. I wanted to know your opinion of the Founding Fathers. In my view, they propagated this mess with slavery, and they copied the ideas from Rousseau and other French philosophers. I have very little respect for them. They could have nipped this problem in the bud and sent back all the slaves. They and the English are responsible for this whole mess. If it were up to me, I would ship all these black criminals to England. Americans seem not to look into the future. They are so present. They're so present-minded. Washington didn't look into the future, just like Bush letting millions of illegal immigrants in. Thanks." I agree with you. No, I think the Founding Fathers were brilliant people. I mean, I do think they were brilliant people. I agree with you that the bringing of the slaves to America was a disastrous decision. That was a disastrous decision. And you know, there was a proposal after the Civil War to send them back to Africa. And if I'm not mistaken, it failed by one vote. By one vote, it failed. Can you imagine if all the Schwarzes were sent back to Africa? What a different country this would be. Anyway, wow, what a mistake that was. Italian Zionist, I agree with you. And now we go to, and I thank you also. And now we go to Roi, who also is writing in Hebrew, so I'm going to quickly read it and then translate. Shalom Chaim Hayakar, Mashlomcha, Meod Neheneti, Mehalayv Shelcha im Johnny Venir Weinberg, Yeshli Shtei She'elot. And he starts off by saying that he enjoyed, we did two interviews with someone called Johnny, and we did another interview with Nir Weinberg, and Roi heard these interviews. Okay. I was interviewed on the programs, and you know me, I was trying to get the Hilltop Youth as to be the main focus of the interview. But anyway, Roi now writes, and I quote, "One, Madatcha al tik elef alpayim arba elef shebahem ne'esham Binyamin Netanyahu be'averot shochad mirma ve'hafarat emunim. Haim haketav ishum mutzdak ומה דעתך על ההתפתחויות האחרונות לגבי עסקת טיעון?" Okay. קודם כל, אני מתנצל, רועי. אני קראתי את השאלה השנייה שלך לפני השאלה הראשונה שלך. אז קודם כל, ברשותך, אנחנו נענה לשאלה השנייה שלך, כי אני... יש לי חום ואני לא מתרכז כמו שצריך, כי אני לא מרגיש טוב. אבל קודם כל, השאלה השנייה שלך, בגלל הטעות שלי, אני כן חושב שנתניהו כן אשם, ואין לי ספק שהוא אדם מושחת לגמרי. אבל אני חושב שמה שהוא עשה בכל התיקים האלה, בכל כתבי האישום האלה, זה כלום ואפס לעומת הפשעים שהוא ביצע נגד העם היהודי, כשהוא מסר אדמה לערפאת, כשהוא הקפיא בנייה יהודית ביהודה ושומרון, כשהוא שטף להם את המוח של היהודים בארץ, ואמר שיש ערבים מתונים שאפשר לעשות שלום איתם. וכשהוא מסר מיליארדי דולרים לאויב הערבי בעזה וגם ביוש. אז אני חושב בכתבי האישום שלו, אני חושב שהוא כן אשם. אבל לדעתי זה כלום ואפס לעומת הפשעים היותר חמורים שהוא ביצע נגד העם היהודי. And I said that he asked me about various things. Netanyahu's under indictment, various indictments against him, and I said that I think he is corrupt, but I think that the things that he's been indicted for, the corruption charges that he's been indicted for, are nothing compared to the crimes he committed against the Jewish people by giving up Jewish land, by destroying Jewish communities, by sending billions of dollars over the years to the Arab enemies of the Jewish people. The things he's, the harm he has done to it by freezing all Jewish building in Judea and Samaria for more than a decade, the things he has done are just beyond the pale, much, much worse than what he's accused of in these indictments. Roi Kotev, Roi Kotev, בשאלה הראשונה שלו, לאחרונה שלום עכשיו כינו את הממשלה הנוכחית ממשלת שינוי לרעה, ואומרים שממשלה זו גרועה מממשלות נתניהו, מכיוון שיש יותר בנייה בשטח ויותר תכנוני בנייה ביהודה ושומרון ואף בירושלים המזרחית. מה דעתך על כך? And Roi now says that Shalom Achshav, the radical left traitor organization, says that that Netanyahu, that this current government is even worse from the standpoint of the left than Netanyahu was, because there's more building now and more and a better atmosphere in Judea and Samaria than there was under Netanyahu. In other words, the left, they're saying that the left wing government, they're basically saying that the phony right is even worse for the Jews in Judea and Samaria than the left. אני חושב שיש הרבה אמת במה שבוגדי שלום עכשיו אומרים. יש הרבה אמת. הממשלה הזאת כמובן זוועה איומה, ממשלה מגילה מכל בחינה, והממשלה עושה המון נזק לעם ישראל, אבל אני מסכים שנתניהו בזמנו עשה אפילו יותר נזק ממה שהממשלה הנוכחית עושה. אני כן חושב. And I basically said that I agree that Netanyahu was even worse than the open left in Israel. Roi writes now, Toda Rabba. Ani mode lecha, Roi. And I want to thank all of our great JTFers for another program. I apologize again that I was not myself on the program, but I wanted to make sure that we did the program, even though I have a mild fever and I'm not really concentrating very much. So I apologize for that, but I hope at least that there was some aspects of the program I hope were enlightening. And again, please help us. We need your help. We're in this battle together. This is a battle for Jewish survival. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.